Thanks for joining us here at Generation Church North Georgia, where our desire is to bring people of all generations into a fresh relationship with God. If your life has been impacted by our teaching and you would like to share your story, please visit us online at generationchurchnga.org, where you will find the Share Your Story link. There you can also find more information about our church and an archive of past sermons. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray you be encouraged by today's message.
I preach this thing a lot of times. I love preaching about Elijah. Elisha's just, I love doing it. They're just so powerful. But I just want to use two verses, and I don't think I've ever done it just on these two verses right here. Well, let me read it for you. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make the windows of heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." I want to use this scripture right here. I want to use for thought. It's time for a miracle. It's time for a miracle because he made this statement about this time. Time is important. Time is important. And it is time for a miracle. How many can say, "Pastor, it's time for a turnaround"? It's time for a turnaround. It's time for a turnaround. And I believe that God's going to minister that this morning. I feel just an anointed presence in the house. God's doing some unusual and different things here. Will you be open to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Can I get you to come into covenant with me if God speaks to you? You will obey. You will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because see, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to respond to it and move on. That's the real step of faith, that when you hear the word and it pricks your heart. I pray that in this house there will not be anybody worried about what somebody else thinks, what somebody else's attitude is. Does somebody think I'm spiritual, not spiritual? What is no? In the name of Jesus, Father, clean this atmosphere. Clean this atmosphere. Anything that would, Father, cloud somebody's mind. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, just let there be. I just see a dome, a covering over Generation Church, Father, that the enemy cannot get in and do his junk. That's all he does is junk. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you come this morning that we might have life. And not just have life, but have it more abundantly. Oh, I praise you for it, Father. I believe you this morning for miracles. Hallelujah, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Look at somebody. Tell them it's time for a miracle as you're being seated. Tell them it's time for a miracle. It's time for a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Obe. I really won't be too long, I don't think. He's always within 50 feet of me, and I like that. Just give you some thoughts right here. I want to relate this scripture to us, where we live, what our lives are. There's a lot of background on this, and I'm not going to go crazy into it, but long drawn out events and hardships that are bad can kill our faith if we're not careful. Did you know that? You could be in a situation for so long and it just exasperates you. It's like, oh my God, just get tired of it. It just gets too much. You pray about things and you don't see change, then you begin to question, will it ever change? You ever been there? I live there, I think, some days. And you pray. But if we're not careful, here's what will happen to us. We'll just tell ourselves to accept it and move on. That's what happens. We just begin to accept conditions and things as they are. And we say, well, that's just how life is going to be. That it's never going to change. It's always been this way. But sometimes the question really is this. It's not, will God do what I need? The question becomes, when will he do it? Because I believe that God's going to meet every one of our needs. That's the word. He's going to do that. So it's not, God, are you going to do it? But when are you going to do it? That's what I want to know. We have to understand this. A truth that you must understand as a believer is that God works on His time clock and not mine. And it's kind of funny, this morning my watch went dead, so I had to take it off. I'm like, okay, Lord, you made that point real good. You take yours off too, because God ain't working on your time clock. Because if He did, how many of you know things would just happen quickly, immediately? I would never have to go through a stress. I would never have to go through anything that would cause me any pain or suffering. Because if I could avoid it, I will avoid it. You would too. Our text is one of those cases. The city of Samaria was under attack. The king of Syria had cut off every resource going into the city and that whole area. Because he was sieging the city, the result of this, because of him trying to take down this city, the result was a great famine. I mean, nothing in, nothing out. We thought the supply chain was bad during COVID. What do you think about this? But there was literally nothing that was going to go in there, and there was no food. As the provisions began to wane and begin to dry up, the place of desperation got even greater and greater in their life. Here's how desperate it was, and I'm not going to labor this. It was so desperate, people were eating horses' heads. I don't know if I'd ever be that hungry. Dove dung, they was following the birds around and collecting the feces and eating it. This is what's recorded in this scripture right here. Even to some people had resorted to cannibalism. That one lady, she said, we'll boil my son this day and eat him, and on the next day we'll do the same thing. And that's literally what happened. That's what took place in it. Wherever you went in this town, all there was hopelessness and despair. There was not anything good that you could look. It was just that bad. The king was so upset as he was walking on the wall that day and he saw the conditions that were there. He was so upset by everything that he saw that the word says that they began to see the king, and he just got frustrated, and he sat down in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he was mourning. Literally what he was doing, he was going kind of to a state of depression because everything was so bad and the condition he was at. The longer he sat there, the longer he was there and he thought about what was happening, rage and anger came on him. I mean, the more he sits there and he thinks about it, how many of you know that if things don't work out, if you stew in it for a while, you get mad? Amen. Don't act holy. Everybody nod your head. I mean, you get to stewing about it. You get to thinking about it. We get mad at God. We get mad at everybody else around us because things just aren't changing it and it's not going to the way that I want it to. And the rage and anger begin to come over him. Anger will always cause you to blame someone for what is happening. Because you can't just ever take it as, well, this is just happening. Somebody's got to be at fault. Normally, if you're married, it's your husband or your wife. The next possible candidate that's really high on the list is your teenagers. Kids. But as he was there and he was stewing about it, his target was Elisha, the prophet of God. And he began to think about, why is it that when everybody gets in a bind, they want to blame God? Everybody gets in a pickle, they get in a jam in their life, and they want to blame God. And here he is, he's sitting there, and he decides, I'm going to blame the prophet of God, this prophet Elisha that has done so many miracles. And he goes off in the left field. And if you're not careful, your anger will take you down roads that you don't want to go. You'll get so mad at God, you'll quit church. You'll get so mad at God that you won't open your Bible anymore. And you think you're going to do God a problem, so you're just not going to pray anymore. And where the king was at right here, he was so mad that he come up with a bright idea. I think I'll just kill Elisha. The man that literally could resolve this and do things. He said, I'm just going to do it. And Elisha is totally innocent. He hasn't done anything to bring this upon them. And he's there. But because before this incident, Elisha had been used to bring deliverance to the very same king. He literally brought an army before the king and delivered them, that they were smitten with blindness. And here Elisha is. There is no doubt that Elisha is his friend. But now then, because of his rage and his anger and because of the circumstances of his life, he turns his anger around and says, I'm going to kill the man who literally is my best friend. And that's where he's setting this at, because now he is his enemy. Even takes it a step further. Because you start getting on these slippery slopes when things don't happen in the time frame that you think it should happen in. You're going down that slippery slope, and the further you go, the faster it gets. You ever had that happen in your life? I mean, once you get on it, I mean, it is on, and it will never stop. And it even goes a step further, and here's what he says. Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? It's getting dangerous. Why I'm mad at God? Why I need to wait for Him? Lord, I give you 24 hours to work. I give you 2 weeks to work and you're not doing it. I believe I'll just move ahead without you because you're not going to do it. And that's the place that he was at, that he would go there. God, I gave you time and it didn't work. See, here's what he was saying. I think I will just take things into my own hands. But is that not the place where we get frustrated with God, we get mad, we get angry? Okay, God, if you're not going to do it, maybe you're just wanting me to do it. Let me step up and do it my own self. God, if you can't do it, I think I can do it, and maybe I can do it just a little bit better than what you want to do. Because here's what happens. We get tired of waiting. We get messed up. I don't want to wait any longer. We're in a instant society is what we're into. See, now is not the time. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Now is not the time to start taking things into your own hands, because that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to start getting yourself involved in a situation, and you try to figure it out and you try to work it out. And if you'll do that, you are playing into the hand of what the enemy is doing. But I've come today to encourage you, is what I've come to do. The word of the Lord, I believe today, as it was that time, it is coming to you. And I want to tell somebody here this morning that it is the right time for a miracle in your life. I believe you made it through to this day, and I believe that God's got a miracle, that if you will trust Him and quit saying, oh, Lord, it's not happening, it's not going to take place. I want you to know my God is able to meet every need that you have. I don't care how bad your circumstance is today. It does not affect how great my God is and how powerful my God is. And it does not affect the resources that He has. He's a good God. Yes, give Him praise in the house. I believe this morning that the pages are turning. I believe that there's about to be a suddenly come in some of your lives. I believe some of you, you've waited, you've endured, you've been patient, and you've waited, and you've not given up, and you've sat there and said, okay, God, I'm waiting, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up. I'm thankful for a church that the attitude in the church is, I am not going to give up. I want to tell you this morning, I'm not going to sell myself short of the blessings that God wants to do in my life. I'm not going to get in the middle and say, God, let me fix it for you. Listen, if God can't do it, there's no use in me putting my hand on it, because if God is not willing, I'm saying, okay, God, whatever you want to do. See the holdups. I began preparing this yesterday, and the Holy Spirit just beginning to download on me and begin to speak words of encouragement. And He's told me this. He said, the holdups that you have been experiencing in your life, they are at present being removed out from what you've been going through. Some of you don't even know it. You can't even see it yet. But you're going to come back next week and say, Pastor, you'll never believe. Yes, I will. I know what the Holy Spirit has spoken. Some of you, the holdups are being taken out of the way. You've been having roadblocks. You've been having this. You've been having pits and all these other things in your way. But I want to tell you this morning and get you encouraged. Lift your head up, because you are about to see a turnaround in your life. You're about to see a miracle that is birthed in your life that is going to blow your mind. In the time we're living in, God's calling some Elishas to step forward. He's calling some that a radical word is coming from them. A radical word is going forth. And Elisha said, he was not, and when he began to say this, and Elisha, he stood up that day and he began to speak forth. And the word said, and Elisha said, he was not going to be intimidated or silenced because somebody was threatening him and somebody was saying, I'm going to take your head off your shoulder. I want you to know this morning. There is a boldness that is coming back to the body of Christ. There is a fearlessness that is coming, that we understand that we are not the underneath. The word tells me I am above and not beneath. I am the righteousness of God. And I want you to know this morning, you don't have to take a back seat to nobody. I don't care who threatens you, intimidates you, and says, I'm going to take your head off your shoulder. I'm sorry. You're not going to do anything to me, because the angels of the Lord are surrounding me back and forth. And I want you to know this morning, you don't have to be in fear of what man can do. Hear the word of the Lord, bold and unafraid. This is the prophet that is carrying a double portion anointing. See, I've always preached like, Lord, give me the Elijah anointing. But you know what I've learned to pray? God, give me the Elisha anointing. The Elijah anointing was the one that prepared the way for the church to come. But I believe the Elisha anointing, it is what? The double portion anointing. It's when you come out of the upper room, what we preached about last week. It's like, Lord, Elijah's good. I like Elijah, but I want some Elisha in my life. I'm ready for a double portion. I'm here to tell you, you need a double portion in your life. Life this morning, because it will cause you to be fearless in the face of man. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear it. He was prophesying that things that were coming. He said, this is a word that God is sending. I want to tell you that we say a lot of times that, okay, the Lord spoke to me and God speaks to me. You say, Pastor, you're hearing audible voices. No, I want to. But you know what? I feel in my spirit. Sat in my office yesterday and the presence of the Holy Ghost began to come in. Spirit began to rise up on the inside of me. And here he is, Elisha. He's speaking the word. He's prophesying things that were coming. I want you to know this morning. They make these little books that you can buy 52 sermons per year. You can buy everything you need. But you know what? We don't need 10 canned messages anymore. We need men and women and people in the congregation that are willing to say, I heard what the Lord had to say. I can stand here this morning with boldness, not with arrogance, but with boldness, and tell you, I believe I've heard a word from the Lord for your life this morning. I believe I've heard what the Holy Spirit is saying, and he's saying that this word is being birthed in the heavenlies, and it's going to be released in this earth, and you're going to see the evidence in your life. Not because he was prophesying because man decided to do something in his own strength, no. But I say to you this morning, hear the word of the Lord. I tell every one of you, hear what the God has said. Here's what has happened over Generation Church. It's not a man-made thing. It's not a man. It's not birth because a committee got together and said, well, we think we'll engineer this and we'll engineer that. No. We don't do that here. Well, here's what we do. We have a Tuesday night prayer meeting and we come together and we say, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want to do in our midst? I say to you this morning, hear the word of the Lord. Hear what God has said to you and lift your head up and don't be discouraged and don't be anxious anymore for anything in your life. God is doing it. The Holy Spirit has released His word over us. Up to this point, the enemy has tried to lay siege to our lives, to our destiny. But I'm here this morning to let you know that it will not happen and it will not be successful in your life, what the enemy is trying to do. I want you to leave this house this morning as free as you can be, and you walk out and you say, the destiny and the purpose of God is alive and well in my life, and absolutely nothing is going to stop that. I just believe this morning we're in miracle territory. I believe this is harvest time. I believe this is the time that the chains need to fall off. I just believe that this is the time this morning that whatever's going on in your life, if it's been holding you back, I just believe it's a time that it needs to turn around. Amen? If God's going to do what He intends to do at Generation Church, we are going to have to walk out from underneath bondages and strongholds that have held us back. And that's what this is about this morning. The word of the Lord, listen to this right here. The word of the Lord is greater than any adversity or negative circumstance that you are facing today. I know when it comes and all these things begin to happen to you, it looks so big and so great. The devil is able to paint a picture that is so massive. And we look at it, it's like, God, how am I able to do that? But I've come to tell you this morning, I don't care how big the devil makes it look, it is not greater than what my God is today and what He is able to do. When God says, I'm going to do something, He's going to do it. You can write it down, take it to the bank. It's going to happen because God said it was going to happen. Here's what he said. Just like these people in our text, it looks hopeless sometimes. They're surrounded by the enemy. But can I tell you, it's not the end of the story. The Lord told me to come in here to tell some of you what you've been going through in your life. It's not the end of the story. What you've been having to deal with and things that are taking place, it is not the end of the story, because I want you to know the end of the story. It's going to be victory in your life, and just like every one of these, there is a breakthrough that is coming. And here's what the prophet began to say tomorrow about this time. Why tomorrow, I begin to ask. And I'm very simple in things that I begin to look at. You know why it was tomorrow and not that very moment? Because God has got everything exactly timed the way it needs to be. You need to understand this in your life. If I communicate nothing else to you this morning, if you get nothing else out of this message, you understand that God has your times and seasons in His hand. Everything is perfectly the way it needs to be. What God is doing in your life has a time stamp on it. What God is doing, every blessing, everything that's going to come your way, God has got it perfectly timed out to the second and to the moment that you need it. And I begin to say, Lord, show me this. I need to know what it is. It's at the right moment. There was a man at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And the story went that every time the water, the word said the water would be troubled, and what he would do, he would try to make his way to the water, and he tried to get in and get a miracle, and he tried it for 38 years. And I began to say, Lord, why did? He said, because the time wasn't right. I want to show you something right here. It had a time stamp on it. He laid there for 38 years. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for Jesus to come by. It was not God's plan for him to dip his hand into the water and to get healed. And the Lord gave me a scripture about it. Had he been healed before, how many of you know we would not have known it? Can any of you tell me anybody that was healed in the pool of Bethesda? No. Because it's not recorded. Do you know why we know about this man? Because Jesus went by and touched him. At the right moment, at the right time, his miracle come to his life. And it was at that moment, because John 20 and verse 21 says, these things are written that you might believe on Jesus. I want you to know that there is a greater purpose in what you are going through than what you are realizing. The Lord said before the beginning of time, I'm going to put a man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, but he's not going to be healed until Jesus comes by. Because somebody in the congregation at Generation Church in 2024 needs to hear the story about a man that laid there for 38 years, and if he'd been healed before, it would not have been recorded. God knows exactly what he's doing, and you're sitting there, God, why is it happening? Why hadn't it happened before now? Why hasn't it taken place? I'm here to tell you, don't get frustrated. God's got your moment, and he's got your season, and I've come to tell you this morning, don't worry. It's on the way. Your miracle is already time-stamped of the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, don't throw your hands up in despair. Just saying, Lord, I'll receive it when you're ready to give it to me. The Holy Spirit sent Elisha the very last day. It was the day before. He was prophesying. There's coming a sudden explosion. There's coming a sudden miracle. Narrowed down to 24 hours. Do you realize God don't need any wiggle room? You know, well, it might be in the next 2-3 days. God don't need wiggle room. He said, in 24 hours, this miracle is going to break out. It's going to come. It's going to be there. Exactly. See, some of you, you don't understand this. You're so close to your miracle. You're so close to the breakthrough. You're right there on the edge of a breakthrough. And I've come this morning to tell you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel right now. I know you're frustrated. I know some of you, you're like, Pastor, you don't understand how long it's been. I know. But I want you to know you are this close. You're within 24 hours of receiving what you need in your life. Can I tell you this morning, your whole life can change in 24 hours. Everything can be different. Do you realize Moses led the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery in 24 hours. He led them out of 400 years. I want somebody to know this morning, the bondage of things, the stuff that's going on in your life, by tomorrow everything can be different, and you can't say, God, you can't. I'm telling you, your body be healed, your mind transformed, your home restored and put back together. In 24 hours, everything can change for you. Joseph went from the prison to the penthouse in 24 hours. He was as far down as you could go. And by the morning light, he was as high up as you could go. I mean, everything that God had for him, he did a turnaround. He said, what it was meant for my evil, I'm here to tell somebody this morning what the enemy has meant for your evil. He thinks he's been beating you down and taking you out, but what he didn't know, he was setting you up for a miracle. He was getting you ready for God to pour his spirit on your life, and there being a turnaround. I'm prophesying to somebody here this morning, there's a turnaround that is coming in, and I believe it's today. I believe it's going to happen within 24 hours. There is a turnaround. You won't even know who you are in 24 hours. I believe God's going to get so radical in the house today. You're like, who? Some of you go home, somebody say, who are you? Who are you? You had prison clothes on when you left, and now you're coming back, and you got on a 3-piece suit and a tie, and you got on some Gucci shoes, and you got all the bling bling going on. I want to tell you this morning, my God is able to do a deliverance in your life that nobody will recognize what is going on for you. I'm telling you, it's time for a miracle in our generation. It's time for God to show up and do some things. He didn't know it. Joseph, what's going on? I don't know. See, I don't know what it might look like for you, but your tomorrow's coming. It's what the Holy Spirit's put down deep in me. Your tomorrow is coming. It's just about here today. In 24 hours, he said, don't let your circumstance dictate to you how God's going to move for you. That's what this man did. This man allowed that was sitting there, the one that the king's handling, he allowed it to kill his faith. All he saw was the negativity. The disciples bringing a little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and their words is, "What is that among so many?" You might feel this morning you're overwhelmed. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. You might feel overwhelmed. Like, "God, how can you do that? How can you do that? Lord, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. I've run down to zero. There's not anything left in my cupboards. There's not anything in my house. My bank account is absolutely dry today." But can I tell you, when you get to your nothing is when God starts laying out everything He needs to in your life. I'm telling you, to be at nothing is not a bad place to be at. It's the place a miracle can be birthed in your life. I'm saying, "God, bring me to nothing, because that's when I see your power at work for me." Hallelujah. He allowed it. See, don't get settled in your problems and let that overrule God in your life. That's the tendency we have. Oh, woe is me. Poor is me. Some people, their testimony is how bad off they are. I was going to say, some people, you don't want to ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you. We are allowing situations to overrule us. This man's sitting right there. "Oh man, Elisha, don't you see how bad things are? Don't you know it's terrible? Don't you know people are dying? Don't you know there's tragedies everywhere? Can I tell you, I know it looks like it's a mess, everything around you. Your home might be messed up and in despair this morning, but can I tell you, my God still got everything in control. He's got it exactly where He needs to be. And I've come with a word from the Lord this morning. Don't you throw your hands up in despair. If you want to throw your hands up, throw it up and say, 'God, I praise you anyway. And whether it's good or whether it's bad or whatever it is, I'm going to praise you in the middle of my storm. And I don't care how bad it gets, I am worshiping you anyway.'" Let me move on. You got to be like Mary. Jesus goes, "Turn the water wine." She said, "Just do what He says." Can I give some of you a word for the Lord this morning? Just do what God says. You're sitting there trying to figure everything out. "Oh, but that don't make sense to me." You know? Because if it did, you could take credit for it. But God's going to tell you some crazy stuff. He's going to tell you that in the morning time, that where there's not a lick of bread in the town, you're eating horses' heads and all this crazy stuff. You're going to sit down to a fine meal like, "The pastor's lost his mind now. He's went off over to the deep end." Can I tell you that sometimes God will call you to walk out on some water? It doesn't make sense, but I want you to know that if you'll do exactly what He says. She understood, Mary understood the principle of allowing God to do what He wants to. Because when the angel said, you're going to have a baby, be like, "I don't know a lot, but I know you got to know a man to know a baby, and I don't know a man." But here's what she said: "But let it happen." Amen. Can I tell the word for somebody this morning? I'm just hearing the Holy Ghost. Let it happen. Amen. Quit trying to figure it out. Amen. It's not going to make sense. Yes. When you say, "Pastor, God really wants to do that," let it happen. "So be it unto me, Lord. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know it. It's just going to be a Jairus walking with Jesus when you get a bad report and they say your daughter's dead and Jesus looks over and says, "Nah, it's okay. She's just asleep. She's going to be alive." Just trust what He says. Don't let the circumstance tank your faith because somebody, you're like, "Oh, I'm hurting, Pastor." Listen, in the name of Jesus, you might be hurting, but I am healed by His stripes. I'm not going to let my circumstances take me down. You've just got to understand that God, whose report are you going to believe? That's what the Word tells me. Whose report? When you're Jairus, you're going to believe all the people that come. Yeah, they've seen her. But there is somebody that is bigger than the report that is being delivered to your house. And His name is Jesus. And He says, "No, it's not going to be that. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I don't choose to believe the circumstance. It's not going to take me down." Because you got to understand this, according to this story, you're always going to have a naysayer around you. I mean, it's harder to find people of faith than it is to find negative people. Man, negative people, it don't take a college education to be negative. You just got to be breathing. Don't give them a voice in your life. Negative, 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 negative. This guy sitting there, "God can't do it. God can't do it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be that way." They'll always tell you why it can't happen. This is why it can't. This is why. Don't let them speak into your life. The problem's too big. Don't you understand, Pastor? God, the problem's too big. It's not going to happen. It's never happened this way before. They got all the reasons. They know exactly why. See, you made too many mistakes, so it can't happen. God can't do a turnaround in your life. They got every reason that you need. And here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to supply you with a reason that you'll latch on to. Oh, yeah, that's right. And you know what happened? Your faith just went boom. Because you just come in agreement with the negativity that the enemy sent into your life. Elisha could like, well, I didn't take in consideration that people's having a hard time, so maybe I missed it. That wasn't what he did. He didn't do that. He didn't listen to the naysayer. They'll tell you, you know, you're too young. You're too old, don't you? You're not smart enough, don't you? You're not tall enough. You're too short. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough education. There is always a reason that somebody can tell you that God cannot do it. But can I tell you the one reason that it can't happen is because my Father said it's going to happen. And that's all I need to know is God said it's going to happen. Good enough for me. Let's do it, Lord. See, the man said in his doubts, here's what he said. Listen to his brazenness. Even if God opened the floodgates of heaven, not even God has enough resources to do that kind of miracle. That's what he was saying. Can you believe that? Not even God, his small thinking, stopped the hand from God from working in his life. It literally cursed him. When it's my time, I want you to know something. Nothing can stop it. When God has designated the time in my life, when God said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to bring a breakthrough, I'm going to bring a miracle for you, I want you to know that there is absolutely nothing in this world that can stop it. That a critic cannot stop it. There cannot be skeptics that's going to stop it. Doubters can't stop it. Unbelievers, bad circumstances, devils can't stop it. When God says it is yours, it is yours. And there is not a power on this earth that is able to stop the miracles of God. What they didn't know is that God was already at work on their behalf, even though they didn't see it. And the Holy Spirit told me to come in here and tell some of you that God is already at work on your, it's already beginning to work. You're just not seeing it yet. You haven't seen the manifestation, but I want you to know today that God is already at work on your behalf. Somebody should give him a praise for that. Oh, go ahead and come. See, they didn't know that God was already down in the Syrian camp. See, here's what we do. We get so messed up in everything that we're going through, we get blinded to what God's doing. Our vision gets focused on us. My comfort and everything that's good about me and the things that is going on. See, here's what the Word said. And God made the Syrians to hear the sound. When it's sound, I'm thinking Holy Ghost when he starts talking about sound, like the upper room. The noise of chariots and horses and a great host. That's God was already working. Elisha's up here and he's prophesying. In 24 hours, God's about to do something. But what they didn't know, God was already at work. He'd already sent his man up there and let him know that it's already taking place. The Lord sent me in here this morning to let some of you know that God is already at work on your behalf. I know you don't see it yet, but I want you to know somewhere across the United States, somebody with some of your kids, somebody in some situation, the Holy Ghost is already at work of it. And the enemy that is plaguing you, he's already hearing the sound of chariots and of horses and of a great and mighty host. I want you to know that God is fighting for you today, and there is a miracle that is about to happen for you, because about this time tomorrow, it's all going to come down. It's going to be manifest. I want somebody to know in the house there is a miracle. It's time for a miracle for your life. As I'm speaking right now, I had the Holy Ghost tell me this. Pastor, while you're speaking, I'm going to be working. While you're preaching that message, I'm going to be working. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get this bold. Some of you, when you leave the building, you're going to find out something's changed. You say, Pastor, how can you know that by the Holy Ghost? Something's changed. Some of you on the way here, as soon as you lock the door of the house, God said, now that I got you out of the way, I'd start working. Have me be open to a miracle. Lord, you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. I don't have to see it. You don't have to tell me about it. You don't have to inform me. All I know is a prophet of God showed up one day and said in 24 hours, things are going to be different. All you got to know this morning, your pastor stood behind this pulpit under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've come to tell you in 24 hours, things are going to be different. Hey, some of you sick in your body, I believe in the name of Jesus, you're going to be healed. There are situations that are going to change. Some of you are going to walk in your job on Monday morning and things are going to, there's going to be a turnaround in the name of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is working right now. I want you to know the hands of my God is not tied in your your situation, even though you don't see it, He is working on your behalf right now. Here's what is happening. He's removing the enemies. He's removing them. Speak, Holy Spirit. I hear Him. I hear this in my spirit. I'm going to speak it out. Here's what the Lord is saying. You don't have to fight this battle. If you fought it, you couldn't win it no way. That's why he sent Elisha. Elisha, I'm doing this. I'm going to bring the deliverance. I'm going to bring it about this time. I'm telling somebody here about this time. About this time, it's ready to go. It's ready to happen. God is already beginning to do it. You don't see it right now, but the enemy's already fleeing. He's already gone. He's already out. He's already moved. He's already going. You say, I don't see it, Pastor. I don't care. He's running. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's put him on the run. Stand with me over the house. Where you were, listen, here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I wrote this down. Where you were facing disaster. This is a word for somebody. Where you were facing disaster, it will be turned into abundance. They were facing immediate death. But God turned it in 24 hours to abundance. Literally, He turned around the economy of that nation. That seeds that was laid to them. In 24 hours, it was reversed. It was changed up. It was different. It's time for your miracle. Some of you carried burdens. You carried things long enough. And the Lord has sent me in here today and tell you, you don't have to keep carrying it. I believe today is time stamped. I believe it's time stamped. I believe it's ready for a moving of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's already working. You just got to come in agreement with what He's doing. And that's what Elisha was doing. Elisha was just coming in agreement. It's just happening. Oh, I can't see it, Pastor. I don't care. I'm telling you, there's got to be an element of faith in this. You got to say, okay, Lord, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. And Elisha looked at him and said, you've spoken out a turn. Your eyes are going to see it, but you'll never taste of the food that's going to come. And because of his doubt and his unbelief, he died. That within 24 hours, his life ended. Because, Lord, you can't do it. The time is right for you today. How many here in this house this morning say, Pastor, I need a miracle. I need something to move. I got a situation. I need to move. I need to turn around. Maybe you've been carrying issues for years. There's things that are going on. I don't know, but here's what I know in my spirit. I stand up here today and tell you that today is a day of change for your life. Whether it's ministry, whether it's personal, whether it's job, whether it's finances, whether it's physical in your body. Listen, God is not limited to any area of your life. Whatever you are in need of, I believe it's time stamped. I was going to go a total different direction today, and the Holy Spirit spun around and said, no. You know why? Because it's the time. It's the right season. It's the right moment. You need a miracle. You need a change. You need something to turn around. I want you to get out of your seat and come stand. We're going to come in agreement with you. You need a miracle. You're going to have to get bold right here. You have to get bold. I need something to happen, Pastor. I need a change. I need to turn around. I've had stuff going on, and I'm ready for there to be a difference. I'm ready for some enemies to see no more. I'm ready for some things to be totally different. Anybody else? I need some changes. I need some changes.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message from Generation Church, North Georgia. Please stay connected with us by subscribing to our podcast and help us to spread the good news of Jesus by sharing today's message with your friends. You can also connect with us on social media via Facebook or Instagram. Until next time, God bless.